Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. As you know, the focus of this show is to bring individuals to the airwaves that are really making a difference in our world. And Dr. Stephen Chaya is one such individual. I had the pleasure of meeting him the first time probably about 6 years ago, I think it was now. And I was immediately impressed and touched. Impressed maybe isn't the right word. Touched by your curious mind, your humility, your dignity, and your genuine interest, which to me spoke volumes more about who you are as an individual, and not just about what you do, but who you are as an individual, because who you are influences what you do. So Dr. Chaya is a gentleman who is obviously an MD. He was greatly influenced by his parents of Iraqi Christian descent and his grandmother. He gives a great deal of recognition to his grandmother, which is very important, the women in our lives that help us. He studied medicine at the Wayne State University, which is in Detroit, Michigan, because this is a global audience so that people know where that is located. Studied family practice and later became what I'm very interested in learning, what is an executive servant leader at his family-owned business, which is called J&B Medical, a global healthcare company that is seeking to help to ensure that people get what they need globally. So thank you for being on the show, Dr. Shai. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to call you Steve because that's what I always call you.
Please.
Okay. So, Steve, tell me a little bit about yourself, and what I want to talk to you about in particular is you know, the changing atmosphere of our global world, and how do we begin to bring together a level of dignified, inclusive businesses and leaders of these businesses to begin to change the adversarial relationship which we have been in that has been doing nothing but causing destruction in our world. So tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, thank you, Elaine, for having me on today. Whatever you said about me, I could say about you in spades. So the sentiments are mutual. So thank you. Thank you again. So my family are Iraqi Christians. My mom and dad immigrated in the mid-1960s. They both came here with literally a lot of faith, no money, but big dreams, big aspirations. They met here and they started a family. My father went to the University of Michigan working several jobs. He worked like I've never seen anyone work, but he worked with such joy, such passion. He never complained. And we did not have much materially, but we were rich in family, rich in spirit, rich where it mattered. And we always ate extremely well, fortunately, unfortunately. So I always tell everyone, I don't about anything else, but we're all about the food and all that comes with it, the camaraderie, the bonding. So my father always taught us that it was very important to enjoy the blessing of life and make the most of every moment. Mm-hmm. My maternal grandmother was in Iraq. She raised 11 children. One of them died when he was 7. When the 11th child was in utero, her husband passed away. So she had to raise 10 children on her own. She was a midwife and she delivered thousands of babies in this small little Iraqi Christian enclave called Talkeapa in Iraq. And she's just an amazing woman, someone that would give you the shirt off her back. Probably the majority of people she delivered babies for didn't have any means, so she didn't charge them. And she, I never forgot while she was alive how much joy she got in giving, how much joy she got in serving. And of course, bringing children to this world. I mean, what an honor, what a gift, what a blessing. So that is something that the joy my father had in working every day and you know, doing positive things. And my grandmother, who, again, got such joy in serving. Those are things that I think are with me today. They're part of my DNA. They're part of my being. They're part of who I am. And I think one thing that God instilled for me from both was this innate sense of servant leadership, that we are here on this earth to help others, particularly those that were less fortunate. And as we have continued on our journey, we've been blessed beyond belief, Elaine. I mean, blessed beyond belief. J&B Medical is a global healthcare company, as you said. We have 17 different business lines. We have customers globally. And the one thing that I think ties it all together is this mission. If people can reach their health potential, they can reach their human potential. That's so right. When you have a mission in your life, when you have a purpose, then it's not so much about anything you accomplish in the business realm. It's really about how many people you can touch, how many people that you can build bridges to. And I think that's what's missing in our world today, that, you know, everyone, there's so many, the differences have never been more acute, especially during COVID. Everything's amplified, religious, political, socioeconomic. And so I think now more than ever, it's important to build these bridges of mutual understanding, which will help give people hope. And I think that's the thing that I've learned most in our journey, is that when people ask me who and what is J&B, you know, of course, I was in Kentucky a couple of years ago, and I said, I'm with J&B, and everyone got really excited. They thought we're the Scotch whiskey. Unfortunately, we're not that good. But the best way I like to describe J&B, it's a platform of purpose, and it's a platform of possibilities. And by helping people reach their health potential, we can help them reach their human potential. And it's given us a great sense of purpose. And, you know, my grandmother passed away almost 20 years ago. My father passed away November 23rd of last year, and it is such an honor to carry on their legacy. And you know, there's a lot of legends in the cemetery. There are very few legacies. And their legacy of servant leadership, of hope, of caring is something that is just, it's something that is just, there's no price tag on it. It's just an honor to, you know, have been, you know, with them. And it's a bigger honor to try to carry on their legacies.
Thank you for that, Stephen. And I think that people, the Iraqi Catholics are called Chaldeans. So why Chaldean? Because that's where they're from, Chaldea? What does that mean?
So the Iraqi Christians, you know, many of the different folks in the Middle East is very tribal. So the Iraqi Christians go back to the time of the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar. And so there's a history. So when people look at the Middle East, a lot of times they try to look at it in terms of country or geography or religious differences, but it's really tribal. So within a country, for example, the Christian community in Iraq, you have many different tribes. The Chaldeans are one, the Assyrians are another. There are many, many different tribes. And it's kind of a lot like life, right? Microcosms of life. You have these pockets of folks that kind of hang together, these packs of people. And it's very interesting. And even within our community, there are many, many different kind of subgroups. So there's a lot of history. What you would like to know also, Sudeth, which is the language that Chaldeans speak, which is a dialect of Aramaic, is the language that Jesus Christ spoke. Yes. So it's there's a lot of history there. And then also my family office, Akkad, the Akkadian Empire were the first empire in Mesopotamia. And the Akkadians, through the Phoenicians, were the great connectors of their time. They were sailors, and the Phoenicians also had the first alphabet, which they ended up giving to the Greeks. And the Greeks were eventually used that alphabet, and that had a big influence on what we have today. But my family office, Akkad, the reason why we came up with the name is because historically, the Akkadians and the Phoenicians were connecting people from around the globe because they were the great sailors. And that created a lot of opportunities, not just for commerce, but for other opportunities as well. And I really believe that, you know, one thing that COVID has shown is we're all in this together. You know, we're all interconnected in more ways than we can possibly imagine. And if we're going to get through this global pandemic, we're going to have to work together. It can't be just one country or one group or one tribe. We're all going to have to come together and do that. And we've historically not been as good at that as we need to be. And certainly up to date, we certainly have to step up our game, you know, all over the globe if we're going to get ahead of this.
Yes. And I think that one of the things that is so important in terms of acknowledging this truth is we have to recognize that humanity itself has been separated, in not in just culturally, but men and women. And we have, because of that, there has been a lot of violence. Because of that, there has been not a lot of, as you mentioned earlier, coming to the table. The coming to the table of, as a family, is both intimate but also a metaphor, because that's where all voices can be heard. And that's what we would hope, that all voices can be heard. And what I think is so important about what you do, Steve, is that you listen, not with just your ears, but with your heart. And it could be very easy for that not to happen. Because especially in, you know, a huge community, because Chaldeans and many tribal people are very patriarchal. So I think that it's a time now that we have to break down these barriers. So and bring everyone to the table to speak about how do we begin to nurture ourselves as human beings again, so that we stop harming one another and harming the planet.
Well, to your point, Elaine, there are a lot of studies and a lot of data that show the best way to advance a society is to invest in the mothers and children. There's a force multiplier effect. You talk to a lot of these NGOs, you talk to these not-for-profits, they've spent gazillions of dollars in major resources on a bunch of initiatives. But you know the one thing that has moved the needle more than anything else is investing in mothers and children. That has been by far the best investment any NGOs, not-for-profits, foundations. Now, a lot of people don't publicly talk about that because nobody wants to hear that all these philanthropic dollars and all these contributions that people got didn't move the needle as much as everyone would hope. But the one thing that's consistent is investing in mothers and children globally. And that's something that's near and dear to our hearts. Of course, I shared with you my grandmother and how she was literally the pillar of not only her family, but the community she lived in. She provided care to people of all races, religions, and, you know, anyone in the village that needed help. It didn't matter what the religion was, didn't matter what their socioeconomic status was. She was there to help and to care. And so I think, you know, long term, that's something that we have to look at, especially in all these developing emerging countries around the globe. Investing in mothers and children has got to be a top priority. And for us, in what we're doing, one of the projects in Pakistan, we provided telemedicine solutions to provide prenatal care to mothers and also some care to children. And that did more to move the needle than anything you can imagine. I can't tell you how many stories that bring tears to your eyes. Women that couldn't have children because they had issues when they during their gestational period. And that taught me, Elaine, that, you know, just by providing a little care, a little dignity, you could build bridges across any sort of cultural, socioeconomic, or religious divides. And that did more to bring people together than probably anything we've done in our journey up to date. And it taught me that there are opportunities. I mean, what's the irony? Today with technology, we're more connected than we've ever been, but yet we're less connected in a lot of ways, because it's so easy just to send an email or send a little social media something versus to sit down and talk, and to your point, to listen and try to understand.
Well, you know what is so beautiful that you share that, you know, your grandmother having been a midwife, the very act of ushering in and helping the unknown become the known. The mystery of a human birth is the most sacred. And when I say sacred, I don't mean a religious connotation, because so many people throw religion in there, where religion came after life. Life preceded all of these domains that we think we own and that we call ourselves. Life brought us here. And to have witnessed so many human births, and to know with every birth is a potential for either great goodness or great harm. And that is a very, very important thing that we have relegated to being obscene at times. And now, I don't know of a single human who was not born from a woman. So there is a level of honesty that is so important now, that I believe in the great experiences that I've had as a healer, as an intuitive, helping people understand there is no more important journey than we will ever have than life itself. And everything we have been given is given to us, not by an individual, but by life, mother life, mother life births. So there is a great beauty in that. So tell me, Steve, if you would, how are you, as you are literally a global company, how are you helping other people, first of all, if you are, looking at the way they believe, and then maybe giving them a different way of looking so that they can become more inclusive, so they can become less rigid in their thinking?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to add on to what you said, that when I first did a delivery of a baby, I cried. It was the most miraculous thing I'd ever seen. I mean, you know, and it's just a very emotional thing to bring someone into this world. And it was very hard for me, because, you know, when everything worked out, I was on cloud nine. When there were issues with the baby, it just very difficult. So it is, like you said, a very powerful moment for sure. So where I believe that we have been put, again, J&B Medical and also now my family office, are platforms of purpose, platforms of possibility. And I think and also great responsibility. And a lot of things that we do today you know, other people look at and say, okay, they're blessed beyond belief. So what are they doing with their blessings? So I think it's incumbent upon us, you know, to really, you know, be a light and show people that we're not just blessed and we're not better than anyone, that it's a responsibility for us to go out and share our blessings. And I think the number one way to help is to give back and to give people opportunities. So at work, for example, we have tried very hard to have as an inclusive workplace as possible. People from all different cultures, religions, sexual orientation, you know, I mean, diversity, inclusiveness is so important because that's what the world is. It's not one slice. It's not one group. You know, we're all interconnected in a way that I think only now we're really understanding, quite frankly. Even me, you know, I traveled the world and I always knew that we're connected, but, you know, seeing the way this pandemic has wreaked havoc on the world and how we all have to come together to rise above it is really, again, reinforced how interconnected we all are. And I think it's important to be open to all different perspectives in life. I think it's important to engage with people with every different, you know, part of the spectrum. Again, whether it's cultural, whether it's gender, whether it's sexual orientation, whether it's, you know, socioeconomic, whatever, the more inclusiveness of different views, different backgrounds, we're all divine beings on a human journey, okay? And we all have a different journey. And during COVID, I think it's been a real test and a real opportunity for everyone to see how they can adapt to challenging circumstances. And the folks that have more inclusivity, have more different perspectives, are more likely to find solutions to overcome, and because they have a broader perspective. And I think it's important for us, because we have been blessed with this platform, to be able to let everyone know that, hey, you know, we're open to what you have to say, we're open to your perspective, and help us understand. Because when you understand, that's the first part of healing. That's the first part of caring. That's the first part of giving. And so we've spent a lot of time. My father, God rest his soul, he would meet with anyone. Anyone could talk to my father. Anyone could call my father. He wasn't in some ivory tower or a silo, you know, and he encouraged us to be very accessible. He encouraged us to be very open, and he encouraged us to you know, really keep it very simple and basic. We're all these divine beings on a human journey, and it's important that we help each other. I mean, we've all had ups and downs, right? We've all had challenging situations, now maybe more than ever. And if we don't come together and we don't learn from each other and we don't grow from each other, we will never be able to overcome the challenges that we have. And guess what? We have a COVID-19. There's going to be a COVID-20. There's going to be a COVID-21. There are other challenges that no one has foreseen that are coming down. It's more important now that you know, we have that understanding, and we also build that baseline of trust and respect. You know, what makes our country great? I always hear, oh, you know, what makes our country great? I can disagree with you. You can disagree with me. We can have totally different perspectives, but that's the ability to share and to talk and to understand. And those lines of communication have become more difficult over this last several years, you know, across the globe. And the only way we're going to be able to solve is to be able to communicate with each other. And that level of communication, you know, I have 3 children, 7, 5, and 4, and that level of communication is not where it needs to be for us to meet the challenges of today and the future. And I would encourage people from all spectrums, socioeconomic, political, religious, cultural, to talk, just to talk, you know, and it does not matter what the perspective is. What matters is that you can sit there and let someone share what they believe, and then you can share what you believe, and then who knows, maybe you can find a common ground, you know, to build from. And that's what's missing today. You know, it's all about the social media snippets, and it's all about the fight. It's not about the understanding. And, you know, and it's, you know, I worry for my children, and I'm going to do everything in our power to be that, you know, place where people can communicate and try to understand each other.
Well, I think that fundamentally what has been such a big challenge in our world is because of industry, because of the industrial age, because of the dominance of patriarchy globally, with religion in particular, with cultural beliefs in particular, that we have desecrated the land. And we are in many people understand that women are the water bearers. We bring life in through the waters of life, through amniotic fluid. There's a mystery that has nothing to do with religions, but has to do with creation itself. How do we protect the waters of the land? How do we protect the land so that we have health to begin with? When we have healthy bodies, we will have, and we have the resources that creation has already put for us. You and I are not smart enough to make one single lettuce leaf, nor are we smart enough to understand how that becomes a part of our body. How does that be ingested and miraculously, incredibly makes us live? There's something way beyond that we have to look at. And so that kind of brings me to another thing that I really want to speak to you about, since you have a deep connection with the work that you're doing and wanting to bring more equitable healthcare globally. And I know that you're working with the Cura Foundation and the Vatican. Can you speak of that? Because I think that there's some doors that really need to be knocked on hard that says, come out of, you know, and I was raised Catholic as well, but I have a different level of understanding that I didn't have just growing up in a cultural belief. So I hope that there is real movement forward as you're working with both the Vatican and the Cura Foundation. Can you tell us about that, please?
So every institution historically has had issues. And I was raised Catholic, and certainly the Catholic Church has issues just like any other institution. Whenever you have human beings involved, you're going to have that. Now, I'm a person of faith. I believe there's a higher power. So being raised Catholic, met Robin Smith, amazing person. And she had this event at the Vatican every 2 years. We had talked about, you know, ways to, you know, build on the momentum, because when I went there, I felt something I haven't felt at other convenings, that you have all these amazing people, Nobel Prize winners, billionaires, you know, celebrities, but in the midst of this community, everybody was equal. There was nobody, and I haven't really felt that anywhere. They were all people that really were there, not for them, but really there to see how we can all do something bigger and better than ourselves. And I haven't felt that at almost any other thing that I participated. So getting to know Robin, you know, we talked about the same thing you do, that, hey, the Catholic Church has issues. But Elaine, in fairness, nobody houses, clothes, feeds, educates, or provides more healthcare globally than the Catholic Church, period. Period. Not even close. So how do we take this platform and do some good, bring some light? Okay. And getting back to this this concept of people, when they reach their health potential, they can reach their human potential. But if they can't reach their health potential, if a mother in a country can't get proper nutrition, doesn't get good, you know, care, she's not going to be able to take care of her family. And it's a self-perpetuating situation. So,
that's right.
So we had talked about a way to advance global health. And so with the Cura Foundation, we've been talking about ways to advance innovation around global health. And there's going to be some very major announcements coming up here in the next couple of months. But Samantha, my wife, and myself and my family are going to be catalysts around that, because we want to be able to, again, let's leverage the foundation to do good, to bring light to the world. And quite frankly, I think that, you know, Pope Francis has brought a message of hope and mercy, which I think is important. There's still a lot that needs to be, you know, done, of course, you know, but again, I think that the direction of the church has been, you know, with Pope Francis' stewardship is, you know, taking down these silos, you know, taking down these judgments, and really, you know, acknowledging that we're all, you know, we're all human beings, you know, we're all children of God, you know. And so that's what we're trying to do. And again, it's easy to look at situations and say, okay, this is not perfect. It's easy to look at situations. If you want to find fault in any person, you want to find fault in any company, you want to find fault in any institution, it's easy.
Right.
You know, the hard thing to do is to look at it and say, how do I build, how do we step forward in the right direction? And the one thing I learned from my father, God rest his soul, my father, he just took step by step by step with a dogged determination. And it's something that, you know, in partnership with the Cura Foundation, you know, we really want to help advance global health. We want to advance innovation. And the opportunities now are greater than ever. In the next year or two, you're going to have over 7 billion people connected via global Wi-Fi. So using phones, using technologies, we're going to be all connected in a way that we haven't. So how do we leverage that to improve people's lives? And you know, in particular, what I feel that, you know, I was born, my purpose, my why is to go out and to provide care and dignity to as many people as I can on my journey. And so that's the partnership. It's a unique partnership with the Cura Foundation. It's exciting. Robin is a dynamic leader. She's a visionary. By the way, she's Jewish. So she's, as a Jewish physician, been able to go to the Vatican, the Catholic Church, and build this partnership. So she's an epitome of building bridges and just a dynamic spirit. So we're, you know, excited about it. It's one platform to go out and leverage. And of course, we have J&B Medical and there are other platforms. But I just feel that my reason to be put on this earth was to create opportunities for people and to show that people care. People that are blessed beyond belief care. And I think that's missing a lot in this world.
I agree with you, Stephen. And what's beautiful is that you are taking this opportunity to speak to a global leader, meaning the Vatican. And obviously, every place on the planet has had challenges. And if we forever say, you did this, and I think while we start, each one of us says, yes, I did this, but I don't want to do it ever again. And accept that, because no one can undo the actions of someone from the past. We can only step into where we are now and take down some of these, you know, walls that have separated us so strongly. So I thank you for that. And I look forward to those opportunities to really begin to have more global understanding of what can we do to help one another? What can we do to ensure that everyone has what they need? And or they're in places that are safe, that they're that the women are protected by the men, not owned by the men. And children, most importantly, I am the mother of two and the grandmother of six. So there's nothing more important than the lives of our children. And because they are our future, they are the ones that will have the really big, big challenge of having to wade through the hurts and the misunderstandings and the fear that many people have been living in because of ideologies, because of leadership that is crazy. And how do we hold others accountable? And I think that what's so fascinating, and I'm grateful that you are in the position you're in, that you can hold people accountable, not to make them, just to say, are you sure you want to do that? And as you said, when we're in this global time, everyone can see what they need to see. You know, you see someone acting poorly, you either can join that poor behavior or you can say, wow, now we see it. And now we know this should not go any further. I just want to share one. I had a number of years ago a great opportunity to be in Peru with a Quechuan elder. At the time, he was in his probably mid to late 80s. And he shared a beautiful, simple truth. And he said, you know, everyone is here for exactly the same purpose. There's many ways they'll attain their, get to that purpose, but that purpose is to know and acknowledge the love that is the power within us. To be aware of the spirit that is uniquely us, embodied in a body, that gives us voice and opportunity using that love, and then taking action. So any one of those triangles of love and spirit and action brings about good change. And if it doesn't, then you're not acknowledging the spirit that you are. You're not acknowledging the love that you're, that love is a power, not an emotion. And that's, there are so many things that we've been misunderstood. And we have to learn how to not wound anyone anymore so that we can learn how to use our mind and make decisions that are equitable and workable and lasting. So I'm really so glad, Stephen, to see that you are a part of this big conversation.
I want to also add, on my journey, one of the truths that I've found is every failure has set me up for success. So there are so many things that every, times that I was trying to accomplish something, trying to relate to someone, trying to, you know, so many things. And when I was looking forward in those situations, a lot of things didn't make sense. But now when I look back and I look at those situations and I look at those opportunities and I look at those things that didn't transpire the way I hoped, they taught me so many things. So, and you mentioned the word fear. So a lot of times people don't try something. They don't try to engage someone. They don't pursue an opportunity, whether it's, you know, business, personal, you know, adventure, whatever it is, okay, because of fear. And I think for me that my faith in that there's something better out there, you know, I'm pursuing the, you know, pursuing, you know, something better that has given me the courage to try things. And I failed and failed and failed and failed, but that's why I succeeded, because I learned something along the way. So you know, when you engage people and try to build bridges, when you try to do innovations, when you pursuing things that you think hopefully will make a difference and they don't work out, don't give up. Don't give up. Get back up and try again. And that's, I've failed way more than I've succeeded, but that's why I'm successful today. And that's why we're blessed beyond belief, is because we didn't let fear stop us. And, you know, that's the beauty of this journey in life. You know, there's hopefully always other opportunities to take what you've learned and to grow from them. And so that's one thing I just, for all your listeners, it's something I believe passionately and part of my DNA. And look, there's a lot of times we've tried things and hasn't worked out, and, you know, and, but I think at the end of the day, you know, those are the most important lessons that you can take with you. And hopefully in our world now, you know, we realize that, you know, politically, religiously, culturally, socioeconomically, there's been so many mistakes that have been made over, you know, recent times, and we've got to learn from them. We've got to learn from them, but it never means stop trying. Never.
Right. That is so beautiful. And I remember in our first conversation, Stephen, one of the first things you told me about was that you were so thrilled about this new concept called telemedicine. And I remember thinking, what the heck is that? And you very kindly explained it to me. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a forethought. And I believe it was your dad that was the impetus behind that with your family, who was also a physician, right? Your dad was also a physician.
Correct. Yeah. So on that, Elaine, it's kind of funny. Always brings tears to my eyes, because my dad, years ago, we're sitting down at breakfast, and he's like, and he has a thick accent. So I just, son, said the medicine will be big one day, son. And I'm like, Dad, I think you're right. And he's like, son, we'd be big in telemedicine. And I'm like, Dad, you can't turn your computer on and off. I mean, you know, but it was just emblematic of what I'll call a dogged determination. My father was, you know, inspired and determined to always try to be better, try to make his environment better, try to make our company better, try to make people better, try to help and give back. And so our J&B Medical and HNC Virtual Solutions, which is our telemedicine company, part of one of our J&B family of companies, you know, they're my father's legacy. And, you know, we're going to go out there and try to provide care using technology and innovation to as many people as we can globally. And it really is kind of a living testament to both my father and also my grandmother, who took care of thousands and thousands of people globally. And so, yeah, it's funny how things, and of course now, one of the, I'll say, positive things with COVID, if you can look at a silver lining, is some of the barriers around virtual care have been, you know, come down. Licensure has been eased. So you used to have to be licensed in Michigan if you're going to take care of a patient in Michigan. And now licensure has been eased so that you can see patients in other states, even if you know, not licensed. There's questions whether that'll be permanent. But, you know, it's a whole new world. It's a brave new world now. And my father had the foresight to see that this at some point would be a big part of delivering care. And so it's an area that we've invested heavily in.
Well, that's so beautiful, because you clearly have inherited that ability from your dad and I think that people that have foresight and insight can look with hindsight at, you know, what was workable, what was not workable, what were the barriers that were put in place intentionally or unintentionally. You know, what do they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, so how do you look beyond the intention of someone and say, okay, I love your intention, but is it inclusive enough? And I think that because of that, you have the opportunity to have people, physicians, healthcare providers speak to one another globally that maybe would have been almost impossible before that. So I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, my father was a person of great faith. When he believed something in his heart, you know, there was nobody or nothing that was going to talk him out of that. And I think one of the things that, you know, with everything that's going on, I hope it's an opportunity for people to gain more self-awareness. And just from a kind of a very spiritual perspective, there's messages coming to us all the time. And I have found in my heart, in my spirit, like when I feel something, like they'll be like, hey, this is something you got to pursue. Or this is a person you should get to know better. Or something doesn't feel right here. Usually our spirit is a great compass, you know, and a great barometer for a lot of things. So, you know, one of the things I feel like during this last year, having more time to kind of, you know, reflect, is that really becoming more in tune with kind of these, we're getting constant messages from God, from Mother Nature, from you know, from the universe. And I think having more self-awareness to kind of, you know, when you talk here and maybe understand, you know, to a greater depth of what all this means, I think that's something also that, you know, this is an opportunity. Look, COVID's brought out the absolute best in people and it's brought out the absolute worst in people. So it's amplified a lot. And one of the things for me is self-awareness. Like, you know, when these things are happening and, you know, what is my heart? What is my spirit saying to me? You know, there's intellectual intelligence, but there's emotional intelligence and there's spiritual intelligence. Mm-hmm. And the people that I've tended to gravitate to in my journey usually have all three. And or some level that can help me get more elevated and more aware. So
it was just last evening I was having a conversation with somebody about this phenomenon of our body and the way our body is so amazingly orchestrated, the greatest capacity that we don't even really understand. And there's the brain mind and the body mind. So the brain mind is, thank goodness I don't have to know in my intellect how to make a peptide. I don't have to know how to make saliva. I don't have to know how my skin can heal. The brain and the body have this great intelligence. And then we have to learn how to use just what you were speaking about, our senses, the body mind, not the brain mind. The brain mind is a computer, if you will, it's driving the whole system. But the brain mind, the body mind, how do we educate the body so that we can use our senses, our ability to hear, see, feel, know, intuit? This is built into our radar, but we have neglected in teaching how to trust that. And in so many ways, someone's emotions could be, well, you're too emotional or this or that. And that our emotions are trying to tell us something. So how do we learn to go to the mind and discover what is that information? Just like you were just saying, you know, I want to learn about this person or I don't want to be involved with that person. We just have these innate knowings when we learn how to hone these skills in a better way. So important.
So important. And one of the things that I wanted to leave, I know we're coming up,
about 5 more minutes
on the end of this, but one of the things I was really reflecting over, knowing that I was going to have the opportunity and privilege to an honor to be on your show today, was a question I wanted to share with your audience. And as you know, Elaine, I love quotes. So there's a Belinda, I'm not going to say her name right, but Poiré, and she had a great quote, and she said, knowing the difference between being alive and living. And that's my question for everyone. Are you living or are you alive? And I think that's one opportunity for COVID, you know, that to really look at our lives And, you know, it's hard to go to the restaurants. It's hard to go out anywhere. It's hard to travel anywhere. So now you have a lot of time to reflect and self-assess your whole life. And so my question to your audience is, are you alive? Or are you living? And to me, being alive is you're excited about what you're doing. You're excited about what your journey is. You're energized. You know, when you find things that you're passionate about, you know in your heart, you know in your spirit, you just know. No one can explain that to you. You know, or are you just living? And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the opportunity to be alive on this journey as divine beings on a human journey, you know, are you alive or are you living? And that's something, you know, only the individuals know. But that's something that I've been asking myself every day, you know, like, and, you know, I always have plenty of work to do, always have a bunch of, you know, personal, professional relationships I want to maintain. But are those relationships, are those opportunities helping me just living, or are they helping me be alive? Mm-hmm. And that's something I wanted to share and everyone to reflect on. And, you know, I hope and pray that, you know, the answer should be pretty clear.
Yes. Yes. Well, I want to personally thank you for taking the time. I know how busy of a man you are. And I felt the significance of who you are the moment I met you. And so I just want to thank you. And please, if you would, and we have about a minute left, if someone would like to get in touch with you, what is the best way that someone could reach out to you, Stephen? Oh, hold on. Your microphone's off. 1 second. Kojo, go ahead. Bye.
There are two things. Number one, please feel free to send me an email. My family office email is Stephen, Stephen, at Akkad, AKKADholdings.com. And please, anyone, feel free to reach out to me anytime, and I will respond to anyone. And then also on my LinkedIn, I have an Akkad Holdings site, where I would be honored if you would follow. We just, all of us trying to send out positive energy, light to the world. Yeah. And every day I try to find something that inspires me and share. And hopefully other people are sharing with their ecosystems. And please share with me anything you have, because, you know, we are all in this together. We rise by lifting each other up. And, you know, I just want to send out much love, much light, much hope to everyone out there. Our world needs it now more than ever. Our world needs all of you now more than ever. And I'm just grateful for this opportunity, Elaine.
Well, Steve, I'm so grateful that you said yes. And, you know, I would love to continue this conversation with you, because as you're making headway and as we're all doing the different things that we're doing, I think we need to continue to collaborate in different ways. And when we see the humanity of every human being, and to recognize and encourage all human beings to make the best possible choices for the betterment of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, those who are going to inherit this earth from us. And there's nothing better than what we can do is to not cause trouble now. Clean up the trouble that's been made so that we can really innovate. We can really see what our human potential is, because I don't believe we've gone anywhere near understanding what our human potential is. And that's a gift when we can begin to understand that. So thank you very much, my dear friend, for being a guest on my show, Dr. Stephen Shaya of Akkad Holdings. As he so graciously said, you can see on the screen, you can reach out to him. And I know he means that, and he does get back to you right away. He doesn't have a million people going, you're going through. It's, you're talking to Steve. So thank you very much. I appreciate all that you do.
Thank you, Elaine, and I appreciate you as well. Many blessings to all.
Thank you. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. You too can make a difference in the world, starting with the love that you offer other people, the kindness you offer to yourself, and the goodness you're willing to share.